Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm your host, Ronojoy Sen, Senior Research Fellow at the Institute. On May 13th, the results of the assembly elections in Karnataka were announced. The Congress won a comfortable majority with 135 seats, whereas the incumbent BJP was a distant second with 66 seats. The Janata Dal Secular, or JDS, was reduced to only 19 seats. While it was widely expected that the Congress would win the most number of seats, the party's strong majority has come as a surprise to some. The Congress not only won a clear mandate, but also increased its vote share to 43%, the best performance by a party since 1989. To discuss the election results and its implications, we have with us Chandan Gowda. Chandan Gowda is the Ramakrishna Hegde Chair Professor of Decentralization and Development at the Institute for Social and Economic Change, Bengaluru. He has a PhD in Sociology from the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor. He has held several prestigious fellowships, including a visiting fellowship to the Watson Institute for International Studies at Brown University. He has varied research interests, including social theory, development studies, caste, Indian normative traditions, and Kannada literature and cinema. He has authored several books and articles, as well as translated works from Kannada to English. Thank you, Chandan, for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Roger.
So without further ado, we'll plunge into the questions. So the first one is the fairly sort of obvious one. Why do you think the Congress did better than anticipated, although there were a couple of exit polls that did predict the margin of victory? Besides anti-incumbency, which was apparent to most observers, what do you think were the other reasons behind the clear mandate for the Congress?
Ronojoy, three positive conditions, if you can call them that. One, they managed to not allow the inner factionalism to break out. They put up a united front all through. In fact, the 3 days before the elections, you had the video of the two big leaders inside the Karnataka Congress are trying to have an informal, friendly, leisurely chat. And they took the manifesto to a temple together, held it in front of the deity to say and declared that they would implement each one of the promises. And in every Congress poster, these two leaders figured. There are no mistakes anywhere. So I think that was important. Secondly, they had a very consistently, nicely stable and constant social media campaign for several months, and who kept at it. So the anti-incumbency mood was maintained by the social media team to an extent. The anti-incumbency being essentially about the corruption of the government. Everything else took second place. Although surveys talked about unemployment and price rises being uppermost on voters' minds, but the campaign was essentially focused on this being, a hugely corrupt government. The 40% government was something that just took on a life of its own and stuck. Thirdly, the Congress did not wait until the release of its manifesto, which happened fairly close to the election date, to make public its 5 poll promises. And they were very clearly spelled out. An unemployment dole, a stipend for women headed households, and 200 free units of electricity, free public transport for women, like this. And these they managed to put out very early, and the Congress party workers are already talking about the gains that there would be for the voters if the Congress were to come to power. So these three things, I think, helped them in an important way. But there were a few surprise developments. I think one of them being the BJP's purge, as it's being called. I mean, it just simply denied tickets to many of its existing legislators. 15 sitting MLAs were not given tickets, and 2 of them were fairly important Lingayat leaders. Ronojoy, I must a quick context note for the audience. Karnataka has 2 big dominant castes, numerically big, economically influential, politically influential. Fokkaligas in the southern part of the state, Lingayats all through the state, but heavily concentrated in the northern part of the state. And the BJP support base is almost entirely the Lingayat support base. Now, Chief Minister Yediyurappa, who had engineered the fall of the previous coalition in 2019 and would become Chief Minister, was for no reason asked to step down 2 years after his tenure. The reason offered was that he was past 75, but everyone knew that that was something that could not be held so literally to be important. And we saw lots of drama about him being shunted around, him begging the High Command to let him stay on, etc., etc. Anyway, in a very emotional sort of a moment, he announced publicly that he was stepping down on his own, and there were tears in his eyes, his voice choked with emotion. I mean, this really, you should see it to know what I mean. And, you know, it's like a anthropology, you know, ethnography of sorts, of someone having been wronged. And, of course, they amended for it by saying, we'll have a CM of your choice succeed you, etc., etc. But that was an important moment of, I think, the Lingayat sort of attachment to the party coming unstuck a little bit. But in the recent ticket denial to two other Lingayat leaders, I think, you know, just was a little too much. And then you had statements by some of the BJP legislators saying, we don't depend on that community's vote. You know, we don't, these sorts of things. But having said that, these two Lingayat leaders who were denied tickets crossed over to the Congress, which I think the BJP hadn't expected them to do. Not only did the crossover, they gave many, many, many public speeches talking about betrayal, talking about neglect of their contribution, etc., etc. But still, as far as the election observers are concerned, it simply wasn't clear if these acts in themselves would mean the Lingayat vote moving away from the BJP. The Lok Niti survey still says 65% of them are with the BJP. But I think psychological sort of detachment is an important thing in itself, regardless of how they end up voting, because that really solidly, it was actually, frankly, whatever the BJP may say about itself being a Hindu party, as far as the Lingayats were concerned, it was their caste party, and they weren't voting on Hindutva sorts of issues. Anyway, that was an aside. But the election results show the Congress has gained heavily across the state. And in Mumbai, Karnataka region, where Lingayats dominate, it's a huge plus there. Many, many, I forget the precise number right now, but in double digits. And in scheduled tribe areas, where Lingayats are numerically preponderant and influence elections, Congress gets 15 of the 16 scheduled. And the BJP had the tribal leader on its side, who was also defeated in this election this time, Sri Ramalu, the famous mining baron. And the scheduled caste reserved constituencies, BJP loses heavily even there, Congress gains. And this is very important. A week or two before the poll conduct came into effect, Chief Minister Bommai announced that the reservation quota for Dalits would be broken up into sub-quotas. Three big groups within Dalits. Let's not get into details now. And so one group which had felt especially underserved by reservations, that group was supposed to be behind the BJP. The other two who had gained from reservations were supposed to express their dislike of this policy by solidly mobilizing behind the Congress, and that seems to have happened. And as you know, soon after Yediyurappa stepped down, Yediyurappa was someone who was a BJP chief minister who did not speak communal talk, who didn't do that kind of talk. So Bommai comes, and very soon we hear all the news that you've also heard of, you know, banning the hijab and trying to ban halal meat and the azan being a problem and these sorts of things simply took over the media scape, and, you know, there's random harassment of, you know, Muslims here and there. So that had already sort of, mobilized the Muslims behind the Congress. They were anyway always with the Congress, but a little more this time. Please remember, you know, the last election, the Congress got 67% of the Muslim vote. This time it's, I think, 70, cost 70 a little bit.
Right. I think the Lok Niti CSTS survey says maybe a little over 70.
Little over 70, right. So which means what? Even those Muslims who would have some voted BJP legislators in their constituency in the north, You know, the northern Karnataka is a strange cultural world. I say strange in italics. What I mean by that is the centuries of, you know, Bahmani rule, the Vijayanagara rule, etc. None of them are targeted communities, and you have this mixture there. You know, the Sufi activity was very intense, literary creativity, and so, you know, people in North Karnataka would see no contradiction between voting BJP and not, you know, espousing hatred towards non-Hindus. Therefore, Muslims in Northern Karnataka would vote in a few thousand in every constituency to legislators who they felt would not mean any threat to them. Right? So that hasn't happened this time. And I think the big side of the story is the losses of the JDS, the third party in the state, who always depended on a combination of Wakkaliga votes plus Muslim votes. And the Muslims would divide the votes between the JDS and the Congress. But this time, many of them have moved away towards the Congress, costing JDS many seats. And this had happened 5 years ago as well. So the Congress, you know, mentioned that they would ban Bajrang Dal if they did anti-constitutional things. And this raised the hackles of Hindutva activists, energized their cadres a lot more, because even they had been a bit demoralized by looking at how, in, you know, sitting MLAs were not given tickets and leaders are being shown the door so easily, etc. So they came alive. But the benefit side of that was the Congress gained from, you know, the few more percent of Muslim votes coming over there. So if you look at it this time, Ronojoy, just about every community in the state has voted Congress in bigger numbers than ever before.
Right. So I guess it was a set of many factors, as you rightly mentioned. Besides, of course, somewhat unusually, given the last few years, the Congress actually running a tight, concerted campaign both on the ground as well as on social media, and led by credible leaders.
Yes. So really, very quickly, its social media team was not one. You know, they had a media team appointed by the center, Rahul Gandhi, a media team appointed by the local state government, and then individual congressmen had their own little social media teams, and there seems to have been a synergy across them.
In many sense, you've sort of answered a little bit of my next question, which is on the BJP. So the BJP's vote share remained, of course, the same as in 2018, but its seat share actually fell quite dramatically. How would you explain this phenomenon? And would you also say that the makeup of BJP's support base, even though it remained the same, was actually quite different from 2018, even though the vote share remained the same?
Yes, in the old Mysore region, where it was essentially a bipolar contest between the Congress and the JDS, and here is where the Wakkaligas predominate, and this is the somewhat... the lack of grassroots presence of the BJP in this area had actually not allowed it to win a majority on its own ever. It's always a question of earning, falling short of the majority and getting support of independents, or, you know, having parties, MLAs for other parties come over, etc. So this was a reason why that wasn't happening. So they focused on this region more. And if you look at their candidates, they're all either those who have been denied tickets. It's the standard story from the JDS moving over. So you see the BJP getting 3.4% extra votes in this region. And that's almost... And the Congress also gained 6.5 more. And if you look at the loss of the JDS in this region, it's fallen by 9.5. So the JDS's losses have been apportioned across the Congress and the BJP. So the BJP can actually now say its candidates have been getting five-digit figures, 20,000, 15,000. It used to be four-digit figures in the past. And the BJP's gains are also in Bangalore. They've gained 5.3%, and Congress has gained 2.4% in Bangalore, and the JDS has lost 7.9%. But I don't think it's a question of the JDS's vote simply moving over between the two. There is shuffling of votes. You know, some Congress votes may have gone here, there, that sort of a thing. We're looking at the final tally, but how we have arrived at it is hard to tell. But in every other region, the BJP has lost on its previous vote share. And the Congress has gained. So, Ronojoy, is very simple. The Congress last time had actually improved on its previous performance in terms of vote share, but dropped in terms of seat share, and this was something that was, had been noticed by many in Karnataka. That's because it's spread across the state. So it's getting votes everywhere, but not transferring into seats. So BJP is now spread over a larger part of Karnataka than before. It's getting more votes, which has made up for the loss of votes in its formerly, dominant areas. But the seat share has come down.
So to move slightly away from, the local leadership, the local, the various factors that you talked about, and focus a little bit on the impact of Prime Minister Narendra Modi on this election. Of course, we did see an election blitz on the part of the Prime Minister and then culminating in that roadshow in Bengaluru. So would you say that Prime Minister Modi's electoral impact is less in South India and especially in states outside of the so-called Hindi heartland?
This is the roadshow variable. It is truly a variable now in election campaigns. Had got them better dividends last elections, and they were hoping for a similar outcome this time. But now people have done some analysis to see he visited 20 assembly constituencies and the BJP won only 5 of the 20. And they're deducing that, then it not have meant very much in terms of swinging votes in favor of the BJP. But it would have energized the cadres everywhere. These are not local events anymore, as you know. A Bangalore roadshow is an all India roadshow. This is every TV channel is giving it high media coverage. The kind of media coverage that no other leader or party person gets. So there was that. But it definitely, I don't think it's done very much. But people do think that the increased votes in the old Mysore region, which hasn't transferred into victories, but may have been due to the roadshow. But these are, the kinds of observations of people on the ground, observers, But, we can't quite be fully certain. The other question, Ranuja, whether its popularity in South India is not as much as it is in the North, you'll have to break it up. I think the cities, continue to be excited by him. Even rural areas, Bangalore in the coastal areas, Mysore, I think there's a kind of an allure that he has managed to cultivate outside of the party or Hindutva, etc. So this is something that we all also know for some time now. I think there is an amoral, ideological sort of an approval or looking up to this figure.
Right. And on the flip side, often in sort of the elections that we've had over the last, few years, the Congress central leadership has been seen as an impediment. But in this election, there's been some talk that, Rahul Gandhi's, he did campaign along with Sonia Gandhi and other central leaders. But also this election came on the heels of his, Bharat Jodo Yatra. So would you say that had an impact, any kind of impact on the electoral verdict?
Again, just like people are evaluating the effects of Modi's roadshow, there have been attempts to attribute the Congress's success to the Bharat Jodo Yatra's influence. And they will tell you that 15 of the 20 assembly segments where he did the Yatra, the Congress has won. I don't know if the Yatra was planned along those routes where, the Congress, actually, I must say, it's taken a seat from the JDS and the BJP in all these 20 constituencies. But I distinctly remember the Jodo Yatra came for almost 3 weeks. There was enthusiasm. The cadres were energized and there was a sense of, getting together electorally, etc. But soon after it moved out of the state, a couple of weeks later, I could tell the energy had fizzled out. And the election that started now was a different thing altogether. So this sort of connection and these correlations that people are making, I don't know how determining this may have been. I think it's probably a loose thing, I would think. Because I remember Congress leaders saying that that momentum didn't stay, we should have let it linger and for enough to last into the election campaign time, etc. Because it had clearly gone by then. Other issues have taken over.
So finally, what do you think is likely to be the impact of the assembly polls on next year's general election in Karnataka? And do you think the Karnataka verdict, which was very encouraging for the Congress, will have any bearing on national politics and the coming state elections in states like Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, and Chhattisgarh?
So to take the second question first, unlike in Karnataka, where the Congress was an opposition party trying to, work with the anti-incumbency mood that had set in Rajasthan and Chhattisgarh, it is actually the ruling government. So it's a different dynamic. Madhya Pradesh, of course, it is an opposition party. But what I think will definitely, the first three positives that I mentioned, regardless of how they're starting out or from where, will stand them in good stead. If you saw their campaign in Himachal Pradesh, one of the things that has helped them is that they targeted the senior citizen population. Again, these sort of welfarist promises are being announced well in advance and making sure that they reach everyone. And that mattering decisively in how the voters, favored them in the election, that is something that they will, need to do even there. It has to be customized, of course, to local state realities. And then the factionalism that you see in Rajasthan right now, that will have to be, absolutely managed properly, addressed properly. Let me not use that word manage, but addressed properly before they go on. Otherwise, it will not make for an effective campaign. And I think the social media side of it also can't be underestimated. The need to, have a concerted and an unflagging, it's not aggressive, but it's there all the time responding to whatever is happening on a daily basis, and not slacking on that front. I think these three, I think they will be well served by, but the other things are ticket distribution, etc. But even here, Ranajay, I must say the Congress's victory may have been larger if the ticket allocation had been done with in the most ideal, objective manner. The two big leaders in the party wanting to have their say in who gets selected where has cost them in a few places. And luckily, that hasn't damaged the overall outcome very much. But so these sorts of things, I think, will need to be worked on. As far as the Lok Sabha is concerned, if you remember the last Lok Sabha election in Karnataka, the Congress and the JDS were in a coalition government. So they had a pre-poll distribution of constituencies, which was disastrous because they were actually working to ensure that the other lost and not get a foothold in these areas. So of the 28 seats, 26, I think, went the BJP way. Now that is surely not going to happen. 25, yeah. That is not going to happen this time for sure. So that's one change. But the other change, I think I'm personally hoping not to see, is if what will happen to the JDS, which is now in the opposition space. Will it try to fight the Lok Sabha elections alone, or will it tie up with the BJP and want to be part of the NDA? That's unlikely to happen, considering how they've already said, we want to be part of a left front government. They're supported four CPIM candidates in the elections this time. And please remember, Devegowda, when he was Prime Minister, he had the support of the left parties, and there are those old ties that still matter. So I feel that they still matter, but it's an open thing, we need to see. And that will make for a difference, but the Karnataka share of the parliament seats is not very large to begin with, 28 seats. So it really is about the Congress's trying to gain from this result in how it negotiates with parties outside. Now it's a little more confident about seeming in at the negotiation table. So we'll see. Mamata has said, I'll be happy to support you, etc., just yesterday. So there's a new dynamic that you notice. So.
Right. I think we might have to end the fascinating conversation here. Thank you, Chandan, for those insights, and looking forward to talking to you again soon. You were listening to South Asia Chat. If you wish to learn more about our work, visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg. You can also get updates on social media. We are on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thank you.